Well, welcome to episode 48 of the Forever Bristol City podcast. And we went with some hope to Pride Park. That former word, Pride, certainly didn't feature in our performance because the final score at that venue, it finished Wayne Rooney's Derby County 1, Bristol City 0. That was a performance as bad as any we've seen since, I'll call it, PW period, which is the post-Wolves at home, December 2017. It was, well, we can use all sorts of expletives, but I've got Ian and Mark with me. I think Dave maybe is still annoyed he's not come in the room yet, but Dave Fett.
He's dusting off his prayer mat and getting his worry beads out for Wednesday.
Is that right?
And his Bible. I think that's one of those.
That's where he's
say so, Ian.
Yeah. What, another one? Another prayer mat or another Bible. Ian, I'll come to you first. I mean, look, I'm going to say it. That was a shit show of the highest order, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it was that good. The words I wrote down when I was watching it were unnecessary fouls. Wells got no service, so was fouling everybody, trying to get to the ball. Simple things like getting drawn under the ball and not closing down. And the other word I wrote was unwatchable. And the other word that I wrote down in big capital letters was brainless. Because if you've got a terrible pitch to play on, and I'm of the age where I played on a load of pitches like that. So what you have to do is adapt to your game. So you don't play Barcelona style, tippy-tappy through the middle of the field. Not that I think we tried that properly. We can't with our midfield because nobody in there can pass a ball. But you have to go long in going behind. And the way Derby did it, it was strange because every time they played a long ball forward down the flank, their player was running onto it and our defender was chasing him. Which meant, to me, means they were out of position to start with. I thought Mawson got bullied by Kazim Richards today. It was the worst game I've seen Mawson have. And I thought his distribution was poor. You've got Nash in midfield, who's weak and can't pass. I don't know what's happened to Tyreek, because when he came on, he looked tired. He didn't look like he could get up with play. He didn't look like he was in the game at all. Zach Viner looked today exactly what he is, a defender playing in midfield, and we should abandon that experiment. I don't want to talk about players coming back because you don't know when they're coming back. Yeah. We know they're training. We know one of them played for the under-23s, but Patterson and Sessegnon haven't. So I'm assuming they're not available for the Brentford game, and I'll assume that until Dean Holden says otherwise. Massive mistake with Rowe, and I blame the player and him.
Well, He only got away with that because he's allowed as many subs as we're allowed. Because if he'd have done that in a scenario, why take the risk?
The risk? Because you know we've got a young lad called Ash Harper who is a proper left back or left wing back. If you're going to play a four on a pitch like that, you could have pushed Riley Towler over there. I know he's a left centre back, but he's 6'3" and he's left sided and he loves a tackle. Mm. And on a pitch like that, that's handy. But he preferred to play Mariepa there. And I actually felt sorry for Mariepa because he's got no left foot.
No.
And he's played all his career as a right sided centre back. And we've played him right back and left back.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is fair on the kid. Service to the forwards, pitiful. And as I said, the midfield, you can't go on doing what he's doing. It was like we looked at what we did against Huddersfield, got rid of what worked for the first 25 minutes, and then decided to do what we did for the last 70 and repeat it. And as I've said many times, one of my favourite sayings in business is doing the same thing over and over again is a sign of insanity.
Yeah. Mark, let Mark have his say a little bit because we'll dissect bits of the action because everything you said there, Ian, 100% agree with that, you know, on every aspect of it. Mark, I mean, when you looked at the lineup that was there, no real surprises. Nash, was it, no, but was it Viner in for Backinson or Nash in for Backinson? I think it was, what was
it? Yeah, Nash in for Backinson and Hunt in for, and Hunt in for Mariappa. And we played against a 4-2-3-1. But yeah, again, we were overwhelmed in midfield. But then, I mean, that's easy against City because you just—it's like pushing an open barn door, isn't it? It's just so easy because we haven't got players that tackle, and there was no movement ahead of the ball. We didn't adapt to the conditions in that we, even when the ball didn't run, we couldn't see that, and we didn't make any adjustments, and we were caught behind the ball a hell of a lot. I mean, you look at the first goal. They won't dissect the match, but the first goal, we just sat behind the ball and Nathan Byrne plays an easy pass across to the left to Buchanan. And I don't know where Hunt is, but it's Semenyo who's on him. And Semenyo puts his arms by his side as though he's in the area trying to defend, not concede a penalty. And the cross is easy. And Callas is late on the ball as well before Kazim Richards tucked it in. But, I mean, Derby are a team who are four from bottom. They struggled this season, but they... You think it was the other way around? They tried to, you know, to pass the ball. They knew the pitch better. They passed the ball better, and they supported the man on the ball. But they weren't anything.
Well, no, they weren't.
We had nothing.
We didn't raise ourselves at all. I mean,
and Ian, no corners. No corners for the second
game run. I know. Yeah. That is poor. Ian, the goal, that summed up City, didn't it? Because it was pinged from the right, over to the left, burned to Buchanan, into the middle, and then there was Kazim Richards. You know, in fact, when the ball from the right came in, when they showed the reverse angle behind the goal, Callas looked a little bit on his heels as it went across, and he might as well still been on the team coach when the cross came back in from Buchanan on the left, mindly, yeah, because Richards, that was an easy chance to convert, wasn't it?
What if you look at City, the way they set up in this 4-2-4, because I'm really not having it as a 4-4-2.
No, I agree.
Is they sacrifice playing in the opposition half, and then they sacrifice the wide areas. So what Dean Holden is obviously telling Palmer, who's not a wide player anyway, and Semenyo, who is, tuck in when you're defending. So they tuck in. The problem is when the ball's switched and the ball's hit firmly, which is something else that apart from Casey Palmer, we can't do, the right-back, left-wing, right-wing is in 20 yards of space. So we can't get out and close them down. And because we didn't do that, their player got a cross in. Callas was ball watching and the ball whipped around him and Kazim Richards got off the back, got a yard of space and finished.
Yeah. He got the winner for them. He got the winner for them at QPR, didn't he? Midweek, I think, if I recall correctly.
I mean, yeah. Kazim Richards is in his career has changed hands for some big money. I mean, the kid's a player, and I think he bullied Mawson today, and I didn't think I'd say that about many, but I think he did. Mm. But with nothing in midfield, I mean, they set up 4-2-3-1. So that means they've got five in midfield against our two.
And two weak ones. And if you look at our two, because really what you're talking about there, Ian, is Nadj and Viner. I mean, yeah. Viner, as you'll say, defender playing out of position, let's abandon that experiment. And Nadj, who's about as lightweight as they come. I mean, look, we've wanted him to be good because he's come from a good pedigree on paper. But to be quite honest, if he went out the door now, he's not the answer going forward. It's a weak midfield. It's a weak two. And as you were saying, it's not a four. It's a weak two. Yeah, there's nothing there, is there?
I mean, Nash is used to playing for Hungary. He's used to playing as an attacking midfield player. But him and Viner in a two look completely all at sea. And playing against that 4-2-3-1, they have to be king canute because, you know, they can't. I mean, Viner can tackle. But, you know, when you're playing a two it was effectively against a five because they were coming through the middle. And the fullbacks were providing the width for Derby. you're just going to get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I mean, we're you know, and we've got supposedly expert coaches down there. We've got three of them, haven't we? We haven't got just one. We've got Downing and Simpson as well.
Well, and you've got to throw in Khalifa. Look, you've got to throw in Khalifa Cissé as well. Yeah, because you see him striding out in the tracksuit. And then you've got Pat Mountain. Yeah, and they all look like little boy lost. I mean, I'm sure... Well, we come on to the coaching when we finish analysing the game. I mean, Ian, it could have been 2-0 after 15 minutes, wouldn't it? Because that was a cracking strike from Bird that deserved a goal, didn't it? Yeah, another.
It was Yuzviak, he hit the post.
Was it Yuzviak?
Yeah, Yuzviak. It was a back. It was a pass back from Kazim Richards, wasn't it? And he rifled it against the post.
That was a good. That was a good shot. And Ian, our first effort was when Palmer won himself a free kick, but it summed up the play from City, didn't it? It was woeful, wasn't it? You know, didn't test the keeper, didn't even find a man.
Well, we could have easily been 3-0 down at half time against a not very good side.
Yeah.
And a lot of our play on the field and off the field is the word I could best describe it is brainless. Yeah. There are so many things that are obvious. It's with the players we've got available. So in other words, I'm not counting Sessegnon, Williams and Patterson, who may play for the under-23s this week. So I'm not counting them. We need to set up something like a 3-5-1-1 against Brentford. But we only need to do that if we play in their half and we dominate the ball and stop them from playing. I watched the Everton-Newcastle game today, and Newcastle being so far out of form, you'd think they'd be relegated already. They won because they got on the front foot and they pressed high. Now, we don't seem to either press high. We did for 20 minutes against Huddersfield, but we don't seem to keep it up. And we don't seem to press high. And we don't compete in midfield. So I don't know what the tactics are.
But that's a fundamental problem, Ian, isn't it? What are the tactics? Because we talk about these players coming back as though they are going to make a difference, yeah? And if Joe Williams comes in, yeah, at some point within the next 3 weeks, I think that's likely, is he going to be able to raise them? And is he, you know, what is the shape of the side? Because the pitch is coming in for a lot of criticism, right?
Yeah, surely and rightly today, so.
Sure, and rightly so, because you haven't seen pitches like that since, I'll say, the 80s, yeah? But surely today, they knew what the pitch was like, and Chris Martin, he's not the most mobile, but we should have just gone route one on that pitch, shouldn't we? We just tried to play through it with a lightweight midfield. Yeah, and that smacks me as cluelessness and brainlessness, as you've said, from Holden. And as somebody said, we said the other day, he's got a very good win record. Yeah, he's sort of just under 50% now. But his loss record isn't that great. And, well, you know, tactics just not there. Would you have played Martin, seeing what the pitch was like from the start?
I would have played him next to Pham, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Dave said to me, Pham, Dave said in a text during the game, and he's had connection problems with the, that's why he's not with us at the moment. He's trying to reinstall the Podbean app, which is unusual. It's usually me with the techie problems there. But Dave said that, you know, it was, just not great that you know, the pitch was in that condition. But it's the same for both sides, isn't it, really? Yeah.
Yeah, my sister said to me, because she knows a few Derby fans living in South Yorkshire, that the groundsman hadn't been paid for 3 months or something. So that might be why it's in the condition it is.
I don't think they should pay him for the next 3 years for turning out a pitch like that. I'll be honest.
Well, she thought that Christian Bielik's injury was a contributing factor, because he thought he got his studs stuck in the turf.
Yeah, it didn't look like a contact injury. It didn't look like a contact injury, did it? And have we heard or read anything about that injury at all? Do we know what it is or what?
It looked to me like he'd done something at the back of his knee, but the way he was holding his leg, I mean, it looked a bad one, let's put it that way.
He was overextended. He was screaming out, but those six minutes interval did help us a little bit, because it allowed us to get to gather our thoughts a little bit, and we did play a little bit deeper in their half for the last quarter of an hour in the first half. But you know, that was
I don't think that was
the only little bit of light. A little bit. That was about the only bit of light in the game, I think. That was about it.
Well, I mean, Dave, I lost my train of thought when I was saying about Dave earlier, but what he was saying about Pham didn't look interested today. But look, in the second half, there was Pham heading off, booting the ball off the line after Bence had been clattered by Waghorn. And then just a few moments after that, that player, Waghorn, who's the sort of player that we'd probably go out and sign, you know, after he's finished at Derby County. But that was a great save by Bence from Waghorn, wasn't it, Ian? And that kept the score down, yeah?
Yeah, it was a good save. I mean, Bentley's the only player I'd give more than 6 out of 10 today, and he looked a little bit uncertain on some of the corners. He's flapping at the ball, and Pham got back and cleared one off the line really well. I mean, that was his biggest contribution to the game. But I wouldn't criticise the forwards because of the service they had. I mean, we keep doing the same thing. We have Wells up front, who's 5'6". And we keep pinging the ball forward in the air. Well, that's why I'd have started with Chris Martin, because that's exactly what I'd have put the ball forward in the air, because it was pointless using the midfield. But I would have done that playing in their half, not playing in our own half. Because as soon as you play in your own half and you do that, and they win the ball on the halfway line, they're through on your back four. So I'm not... my annoyance, really, is that we didn't correct what went wrong against Huddersfield. And for that, I totally blame the manager.
Yeah. Well, we carried on where we left off against Huddersfield, didn't we? We didn't think that first 20 minutes, that set the standard, because that did set the standard. That first 20 minutes against Huddersfield, if we played like that and we lost 2-1 on a fairly consistent basis, but at least we played in an enterprising fashion, Holden wouldn't be getting the pelters that he's getting from us. And if you look at the forum tonight, you know, it's toxic, the usual Holden must go. That's as sure as tomorrow's Sunday that that's not going to happen. Holden isn't going anywhere, not for at least the next 4 months, I would say. But let's look at the markings, yeah, and we do it in the custom that we have done before. So if you
the Forsyth method, I think they call
the Brucey, the Brucey method. Right. So you just say higher or lower. So Bentley, I say 7. Higher or lower than a 7? Just shout it out. Yeah.
Freeze.
Your number.
Agree.
Agree. So we agree Bentley's 7. Higher or lower than a 6?
Agree.
Yeah, just agree. Say it together. You don't have to wait for the other person. Just go for it. Agree. Callas, I'll give him a 5 because he was asleep for the goal. Higher or lower than
agree.
A 5?
Agree.
Here we go.
I give him a 6.
Would you? All right, that's a bit generous for you there, Ian. Now, Mawson, higher or lower than a 6?
5.
Lower. You say lower. All right.
Yeah.
unless it's obviously if you want to give him a 4, you could say it's lower 4, and if it's higher than a 6 and it's 8, you can say it's 8. All right. Whoever played at left back, Rowe and Mariapa, a pair of them, I've sort of given them a 6. So higher or lower than a 6? That position.
4. Lower.
Lower.
4 for both.
4 for both. There we go. All right. In the middle, Semenyo, I've given him 5, higher or lower than a 5.
Agree.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Viner, I've given him a 4, contributed nothing. Higher or lower than a 4?
I'd give him a 5.
Yeah, oh, that's generous. Nash, I'll give him a 5. Higher or lower than a 5 for Nash?
Agree. He made a couple of good interceptions. We ran the ball up the pitch. Yeah. That was about it.
Yeah. And Casey Palmer, 5, higher or lower?
Agree.
Higher, 6.
Okay. And then up front, I've given, both strikers, if you can call them that. I didn't get any service. they didn't get any service, did they?
No.
I've given both of them a 5. Yeah. And as Loud Lee said on here, we just throw the subs on with Northrop. Thought process, and that's how it looked. I mean,
who's going to give him the ball?
Well, that sums it up, though, doesn't it? You know, we throw players on with little thought. Let's just use all the subs and give everybody a game and everything like that.
What was amazing? There was no confidence in the players. There was just no confidence at all. It was all risk averse again, and that is. I mean, there's no way that we're going to get in the playoffs playing like that. No. And General Custer waited for the cavalry, and they never arrived, did they, either?
Well, I think you might be wrong about something. I think there is thought in putting the subs on, but the thought's incorrect. And that worries me. It's like when people say to me, well, the players just aren't trying. They are, and that's the bigger worry. They are trying, and that worries me more. If they weren't trying, all you've got to do is kick their backsides and or drop them and put somebody in who will try.
Yeah,
I think they tried. I think they all tried today, but they were second rate.
But what? Okay, so Ian, if you say they're trying, then is it that they're trying and they're not very, you know, does that deflect the blame away from the manager? They're just not good enough across the pitch.
It depends. Well, a couple of things on that. It depends who signed them.
Yeah.
And people talk about, you know, spending serious money. We have spent serious money. We haven't got a cheap team. Things like, for example, Mariappa playing left back when he can. He showed that he couldn't against Huddersfield, right? He can't play left back, so we played him there.
Yeah.
Now, is that something that he's done wrong? Because I think Mariappa tried really hard. He's just not a left back.
But what about some of the wayward passes, though? Because, you know, how many times did the ball stick?
Yeah.
And how many times did a player of ours take a pass by running onto it into space? Yeah.
No, so, but we don't do that anyway. I mean, I'll tell you what absolutely summed up the game for me. It was about 3 minutes to go. Mawson's coming out with the ball. He's got nobody on him, right?
Mm.
Mariappa is out wide in 10 yards of space moving forward.
Yeah.
Mawson passed the ball 2 yards behind Mariappa.
And But then when you look at that, Ian, that is a player not trying or just sloppy. And then that comes back.
It's sloppy. We've all done it. I mean, it's like saying, you know, he made a mistake. Yeah. And we've all made them. I mean, I made more than most when I was playing football, and I played on a lot of pitches like that, and worse. I'll tell you that now, far worse.
But the fundamental thing is today is we just need to play fewer passes and get the ball forward quicker on that pitch. If there ever was a good reason to do it, do it. You know, be agricultural. Get Martin and Zizou to head the ball on and get the midfielders to follow up and get a few shots on goal. It would have happened. But for the coach is not to do that and just continue the way they're doing. You couldn't have told me it's just a complete mess. It was like, they're going back to the days of Johnson. We just throw on a few forwards and hope it works. There was just no plan there at all.
Holden's plan B is normally four strikers on the field and booting. And there's no more thought behind it than that. I normally give the side in the ratings, I normally give them a mark out of 10 on about a dozen things. So, for example, today I gave 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 zeros, and they were for finishing, final ball, shooting, creativity, and tactics in team shape. So that's 5 zeros out of about a dozen things.
Yeah, so, well, you're right, Ian. So it's back down to, if you're chief executive, you're looking at the person who's putting your team, you're out there, your customer-facing operation, you've got to be asking some serious questions, And, you know, maybe they do, or maybe we're just happy. I mean, somebody on here, Q83, that's one of the listeners, has put perfect description for today's preferred approach. Agricultural. I think that's a good term, Ian, don't you? Because it's basic. I don't know anything about football tactics, but I think I could sort of given them a bit more idea than what they had today, or made better use of the resources that we've got. Yeah, why not give Edwards half an hour? Yeah, because we weren't doing anything down the flanks. I mean, Opie looked good against Millwall.
Awara.
I mean, Awara.
I would have played Edwards. I'd have brought Edwards on with 30 minutes to go. I agree, yeah, because he is a left winger. Right? Now, yeah, if you're going to play with wide men, fine. You put Semenyo on the right and you put Awara Edwards on the left, but you still need to find a system that allows you to play three midfielders. And against Brentford, I'd go 3-5-1-1.
Well, we're going to need something against them, aren't they? Because say it's seven today, well, with six different goal scorers.
It was two all at half time. So it was obviously an open game. It sounds like a bit of a five-a-side game to me. But they've got quality players. Now, you know, I think Pham would die for the service that Tony and Watkins got last season.
Yeah.
But I think that's one of the reasons that he's going to leave. Because he can see...
No service.
He's been with us 4 years. He can see... He saw the Johnson time... And he can see what's going on under Holden. And I think it's hard to find. He's just thinking, well, this is just more of the same. I'm better off somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, Tomo's put on here, forget the FA Cup. Yeah, absolutely. In our last nine league games, right, it's 27 points. We've won three and lost six. And as he said, likely to be lost 7 out of 10 after Brentford. So that's, what is it, 3, 9 points out of 30. That ain't good.
Well, the problem you've got is that if you look at our team, you've got to say is Dean Holden doing the best with what he's got? And I don't think he is. I don't see a pattern of play. I don't see an identity. And there's enough experienced players in there to make these things happen. I think you can criticize recruitment.
Yeah.
Okay, if everyone was fit, and I know, you know, people are probably wrong about on the floor laughing at that comment. If everyone was fit, I think we could put 11 players on the field that would compete for the top six. And by the top six, I mean sixth.
Yeah.
Now there's a lot of them that are unavailable. I mean, and we don't hear. I was having a bit of a Twitter spat with Dave today about we don't hear when players are coming back that often. It's happened a bit more recently because of all the complaints. But if I throw a name at you, Jada Silva, when's he going to be fit? Is he out for the season with a broken leg?
Well, he's supposedly on some specialist bit of equipment, I think. We heard that. Yeah. I mean, well, talking about players on the fringes, I mean, I think somebody put up today, I think you did, Ian, and I commented on Twitter, thrilled, brackets, not, exclamation mark. O'Dowda back in 2 weeks. There you go. That's somebody that's coming back. And I have to say, Callum, he's only 25. Yes, Callum, do those coaching badges, mate, because you're about as inspirational as Andy Vyman when it comes to giving match commentary. When the goal went in, I mean, look, he was sat there like a frozen turd there, right? He displayed all the characteristics of a bloke on a cold, wet night in Barnsley. You would not want him, right, in your team as somebody you could rely on 100%. Well, it's a shame. It's a shame when
Dave,
they scored.
What do you,
yeah?
Dave,
and he one of the commentators said, oh, Callum's got a blanket now in the second half, for F's sake. And he didn't make the comment. Somebody asked him about, Lansbury coming in, and he did. He did make the utterance of, oh, yeah, maybe you can have too many players. And talking about too many players here, midfield, right? Somebody put on there, rather stupidly titled thread on O2, pray for Hanno Amasengo, which sort of some people took that as meaning, oh my God, there's something that happened to him. Yeah. It was like, pray about his future in the club, because this is, again, quantity. How many times have we said quantity over quality? And our midfield people, when they are all fit, and they could all be fit, it might not be until the penultimate game of the season, but we've got Backinson, Viner, Walsh, Williams, Pato, Palmer, Nash, Lansbury, O'Dowda, Masengo, and Morton. That's an unbalanced squad. Would you agree with that, Ian? In that area?
No, I wouldn't. I think you're being unfair to Callum O'Dowda because you don't rate the bloke, that's fair enough. But what do you expect a Bristol City player to say on commentary about blokes he's got to go in into and train with or go into the gym with on a Monday morning? Seriously, what do you expect him to do?
I don't expect him to criticise, right? But just shut up.
It was his flat delivery. He sounded a bit like Ray Wilkins when he did those tango commercials. Yeah, terrific, great. Yeah, I mean it was just a bit flat.
Hang on,
it was a bit flat. It was his delivery was flat. Yeah, and that was
firstly
it was,
the club shouldn't have players doing summarising. Andy Vyman was awful as well. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
Ewan Martin's decent. Brian Tinian's decent. And what I like about Tinian is he can give you a bit of insight on the younger players that nobody else would have.
Yeah.
And he's passionate.
Even then, he's not going to say anything too critical of Holden. Now, if you want to listen to something that is far more unbiased, then you get somebody like Gary Hours on Radio Bristol, who will say, it's terrible. You know, we haven't done this and we haven't done that. Now, that's why sometimes... I mean, at one point today, I switched off the commentary because it was like sycophant central, and it does great. But the other thing I really don't understand is what on earth are they doing sat in the open air in a stand at Ashton Gate? Why can't they go indoors and sit 2 metres apart in the warm?
Why do you need?
I mean, I could understand if they got in a car and went up to Derby and they watched it from the stand.
I thought they'd actually gone to Derby.
They're sat in the gantry at Ashton Gate.
Normally they are, but actually this week I thought they'd actually gone to Derby. You know, just
Dave,
the way it
Dave,
was
if you look off. Behind Dave, if you look behind him, mate, it was pitch black.
anyway. Look, I'm going to play one of my little sound effects here. Here we go, and you got to guess why I'm playing this one. That is because it finished Bristol City Women 3, Brighton and Hove Albion Women 0. Is that a first win for the ladies, Mark? I'm sure you follow them. And
yeah, it's only had 2 points.
In the league it is. They're through to the semi-finals of the FA Cup, though.
League Cup.
Is that right? Anyway, look, let's talk about... We've done the game, right? Which is... That's not one that we're going to remember for very long.
We're looking forward to Wednesday.
We'll talk about Brentford in a minute. What do we think of signing Angela? Henri Lansbury. I mean, it's about 4 years too late, isn't it? Yeah, signing Henri Lansbury. I mean, Ian, your thoughts on his signature, you know, quality player.
I think he's a very good player when he's fit. And then you look at... So I thought, well, we're going after this guy. Let's look him up online and get the stats. So here they are. He's 6 foot tall, 13 stone three. So he can probably handle himself. He's a creative midfield player with a goal scoring record that's better than 1 in 5, which for a midfielder is good.
Yeah.
He's been involved in... I think it's 3 promotions at the championship, so he knows what it takes, and he is a good player. Now, let's look at the negatives. He's only the last time he played a first team game was October the 1st, so that's 4 months ago.
Yeah,
was that in the league or the cup? Ian,
League Cup, he hasn't played in the Premier League. Over the last 3 years, he's appeared 26 times in 3 years.
Yeah.
15 of which, 1-5 of which, were as a substitute. So to say that he hasn't played much...
So he started 11 games then, basically, is what you're saying, in the last 3 years, yeah?
Yeah, and that's in the last 3 years. So divide 11 by 3, that's not even 4 a year, is it? So no. I don't know. Apparently he's got a bad injury record, I hear from Villa fans. I haven't got any numbers on that. But assuming he was available after time, it's not great. Now, then we get the comment today, we're hoping to get Henry up to speed in 3 weeks' time. So immediately I say, well, hang on a minute. If we knew this guy was available, why didn't we go and get him at the start of January? Because we could have done the same deal with Villa because he was available, because Villa were trying to get him to... they were trying to buy off his contract at half price. And he said, no, I'm having none of that. I'm not. Now, his contract from now to the end of the season was half a million, just over half a million
pounds. Yeah, because he's on 40 grand a week, and that's a factual figure, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so it just depends. My guess is, and I'm not pretending I know, so I'm quite happy for somebody from Bristol City to ring up and say, hang on a minute, you got that wrong, mate. I'm guessing that Villa gave him half, and we're going to pay him half to play for us over the next 14 weeks.
Yeah.
So almost like we're paying a loan fee, isn't it?
I mean,
the one way to look at it, with Brunt going and tearing up his contract, which was a very honourable thing to do, which is something lacking in most professional footballers these days, not all, but the majority, Brunt's contract's gone. So the long and the short of it is he costing us any more than Brunt, would you say, for the next 15 weeks? That's it. So, you know, it's not...
Yes, he is. But if he can stay fit, I still think it would be a good signing. At the end of the season, we can decide whether we want to offer him a longer contract. He's only 30.
Yeah.
We can, and, you know, Chris Brunt was 35, 36.
Yeah.
So we can say, okay, he's done really well for us. We want to keep him. Or we can say, well, no, we think there's better out there because there's, you know, free agents for once are going to be at a bit of a premium because no one's going to want to pay a fee post-COVID. No. So let's look at it that way. Now, in terms of the FA Cup, somebody's, you know, and I was of the feeling, well, why don't we just put the kids out? I can give you the answer in one word, it's money. And I would imagine Steve Lansdowne's been on the phone to Mark Ashton, who's just ran down the stairs to Dean Holmes' office and said, you better put a strong side out because Steve's just been on the phone from Guernsey and he wants the money.
Yeah.
So we've earned circa 250,000 from the games we played. Now, that is just prize money. That's not any TV money. We're getting 97,500 from the TV when we play Sheffield United on iPlayer. And the prize money is 180,000. So in a way, you could argue that the FA Cup is more important to the club financially than the league unless we go up.
Unless we go up. And look, that's looking more and more, not more and more unlikely because, look, today, if we'd got a point today and played shit like we did, we wouldn't have been moaning because that would have been in line with what we said the week ago, which was these four games, Huddersfield home, Derby away, Brentford away, Cardiff home, we wanted to get 7 points out of that and that would be acceptable. Now, the thing is, we've had the loss today. The time was when City played badly on a Saturday, they put in a good performance in the next game, but we're going to have to be right on our mettle against Brentford, aren't we? And can you see any prospect of getting anything at whatever they call their stadium these days? I can't remember. Mark, let me come to you.
Stadium. No,
is it? I don't know what it's called. It looks nice from the motorway when you go by.
Community stadium, isn't it? I think it is. Based on form, absolutely not. But they've got to treat it like a one-off game. Change the formation, but they have got to play on the front foot because they've got... They're getting Brentford's faces and let them know that they're in a game. And Brentford do play an open game. I mean, the one game they've lost this season was against Preston and they were 2-0 up at half-time and it was open and giving Preston a lot of chances. Preston finished up with about 57% possession, which is ridiculous for Brentford because they always dominate possession. But Preston play they play attacking football with a 4-2-3-1 and they got some sort of identity. See, I haven't got any identity. We've got no movement, you know, long or short. We don't know what we're doing. We're in a state, we're in a bad form. We haven't won for 5 away games. The goals have dried up. The chances have dried up. It looks like
we're coming up against a Brentford team that are undefeated in 17. I mean, Mark, your thoughts on the lineup? I mean, what changes? You know, clearly we got a problem at left back. I mean, would you sort of go to a 3-5-2 and put a naturally left-sided player like Riley Towler just out there to boost the numbers on that side? And then what would your shape and lineup look like on Wednesday?
Right. Yeah, you've got to have a naturally left-sided player, I think, because, I mean, Mariappa, a defensive right-back that he's known for, he just doesn't look comfortable there at all. So you need a left-footed player. And we're now short of left-sided midfield players as well. And we used to have an abundance of left-footed players. There don't seem to be any because they're injured at the moment. So you've got to play a left-sided player if we got one in the club. They can't play any worse than the players we got. We got to 11 p.m. on Monday to try and they've got to be trying to sign a left back. What is the sense in signing somebody as good as Lansbury is, hopefully,
and not signing the players? But not sorting out the problem that is there. I mean, that's what you were saying, Ian, wasn't it? Because is there another youngster? Is there another youngster that you mentioned, Ian, that could come in that natural left back position if they keep playing with his 4-4-2 or not? Is it Harper? Did I see hear you say something called Harper? Or is he injured? Is he another one who's injured?
Hang on, let me answer and I'll tell you. We've got Ash Harper, who's a left back, left wing back. He's very quick. And we've got a left-sided centre back called Riley Towler, who could also play, I think, as a fullback. I don't think he'd be a flying winger, but he's got a hell of a left foot, loves a tackle, and he's 6'3", so he ought to be able to defend. And I think he's in his early 20s as well, so he's not a baby. Bear in mind, we've got players like Masengo in Backinson, who were what, 8, who were 19? Can we do better? Yes, we can. My own view is I'd go with a 3-5-1-1, and that's playing two of the youngsters, Edwards and Morton. And I play five across the midfield with two wide players, and they just have to try and fill in the wide areas. But it's about trying to win the game. We could go with wing backs. We could play Hunt and Ash Harper, and still go with but the key thing for me is getting three people in midfield. And not letting Brentford, because you go up to Brentford with two central midfield players.
Well, you just get swamped.
You'll get murdered.
It's Vince Harper, not Ash Harper. I think Tomo's just said on there, but doesn't make any difference. We've not seen any of them play. Somebody else has said, what about playing 4-2-3-1? I'm guessing the one. Is that going to be somebody like Naki up front by himself?
Not if 5'6" with our ability to pass. No, I'd play Pham up there, and who isn't particularly good. I mean, because he can be a bit of a trampoline foot at times. I would be looking at that and saying, okay, we're playing 4-2-3-1. Who are the two defensive midfield players? Because we haven't really got one.
No, when you look at it like that, a solid, well, you'd say the closest to it is Viner, but he's got no passing ability and he's not half as good a midfielder as he is defender.
Well, he can pass the ball. His passing has just gone to pieces. Yeah. I mean, he played a great crossfield pass at QPR that set up the goal up there.
He was playing in the back three then, Mark.
Yeah, because he's not under pressure.
When you're at the back, it's far easier because the goalie rolls the ball out. You might have somebody come in, close you down, but he's strong enough and he's quick enough to be able to get round it and give it a ping. And he's also got three passes at that point to get out of jail. So you can pass it to Callas, Mawson, or back to Bentley. When you're in midfield, you haven't got those options unless you've got other people in there that want the ball off you. And at the moment, Nash, something in nothing, honestly. He has some decent games. He can intercept the ball. Zach's a defender, and I'd put him in a back three up at Brentford where he's better.
Back three of Viner, Callas and Mawson, you're saying, yeah? Viner, Callas,
and
Mawson.
That's really all you can do. Because Baker's not fit. He doesn't seem to want to play Towler. Baker's not going to be back for, we're told, 6 weeks. So that means he'll have, if we're lucky, we'll have him for the last 2 months of the season.
If we're lucky.
And you know, Williams will be, I'm guessing, playing next week for the under-23s with Sessegnon Pato. I'm guessing that. I don't know. But it seemed to make sense.
Probably agree
and then
with
he
that.
may be available for the following Saturday, depending on
which how he does. Which is the home game against Cardiff. I mean, Deo Four has said on here, what about giving Williams an hour? Yeah, big ask, but we need some bite in midfield. Or do you think that might be 45 minutes too soon?
No, I don't know, is the honest answer, Dave. And you have to leave that kind of thing up to the coaches, physios, etc., who see him. They'll know when he's ready. But, you know, they played Tommy Rowe today and he clearly wasn't ready, although he told Holden he was fine.
Yeah.
Now, all right, he may have been and he may have got another kick on it, but it seemed a bit of a strategy that went wrong today, I have to be honest.
Wouldn't he have had a fitness test? That's what they used to do, didn't they? Given some sort of rigorous fitness test. But I suppose with COVID, perhaps that isn't possible under the current restrictions.
Well, he didn't know who else to play there other than Mariappa, because you're right, you know, we're all old enough to remember fitness tests where if you get in the ground early, you'd see the player doing a few sprints. Mm. I've seen it happen a few times over the years. And they shake their heads and they say, nah, not going to make it. And sometimes the assistant manager, I seem to recall maybe Jimmy Lumsden years ago, sort of shaking his head saying, you're not going to make it, son, my decision type of thing, yeah?
But you don't need to do it with an audience. I mean, they could, if you're not fit on Friday evening after training, the chances of you being fit on Saturday at 3 o'clock are pretty limited, I would say. So you need to make a decision. The problem he's got, we've got four left backs at the club. Okay, we've got Tommy Rhodes injured. We've got Cameron Pring, who's injured. We've got George Nurse, who's injured. And we've got Jay De Silva, who's injured.
And Sessegnon.
Sessegnon's
on his way back.
He can play allegedly.
Oh, yeah, he can play at left back, right.
Yeah, but well, he's another right-footed left-back, isn't he? I mean, so then you've got Harper, who's okay, and you've got Barney Sodhi, who's also injured.
Yeah.
So, you know, we haven't got a lot of choice unless we do some out of left field. Now, if he wants to play wing-backs, he can play O'Dowda there, but I don't think he's particularly good in that position, but at least he's left-footed.
But you said he's not available for another 2 weeks. I mean, let's just wrap up.
I would not risk Williams in that game. I mean, the player has been out for 5 months. You'd get a huge backlash if he suddenly pulled up after half an hour, did his hamstring or his quad again. He needs to be back in, even though we're desperate for players. We can't risk him.
Yeah.
No way.
I mean, look, it's a new month, second month of the year. Big month, February. There's 8 games coming up in February, 7 in the league, plus the cup match. I don't think we're in any danger of going down, but it's true to say that if February turns out from those 7 league games, that we get anything less than, I'll say, 11 points, then this season is very much one of mid-table mediocrity. And that surely is the perfect platform to start playing some of these kids, yeah? And chopping and changing the side and let some of the players who are injured come back. Do you think, you know, that if we have a poor February, Ian, that we might see some of the youngsters being blooded?
I think we may... I don't think we'll see the... I've got a horrible feeling about Walsh. And I don't know this is a fact. I'm not trying to say so. Don't think we'll see Walsh play for us, although O'Dowda gave him a sound check today. He's been out for a long time, and whenever you hear anybody talking about the injury he's got, you know, you get, it's a funny one. We really need to take our time. The best advice is you've got to wait.
Yeah.
So there's no time limit on that. Baker, if he comes back by the 28th of Feb, he'll have been out for 7 months. So my suggestion is when he comes back, he's going to need a couple of weeks training to get what I call fit enough to become match fit. And the only way you get match fit is play matches. I haven't heard anything about Jay De Silva. So I don't know, you know, we might say he's available next week. I got no idea. Callum today said he'd be back in 2 weeks' time. So yeah. I think you've got to look at what we've got and take players coming back is a bonus. I don't think you can depend on him. It'd be lovely to get Williams back, so I'm really looking forward to seeing him play.
Yeah, well, we hope. That would be great, seeing him play, getting him back. But, you know, it might be that the next 8 games, as Tomo's pointed out here, our league form at the moment, take the 4 wins at the start of the season away, our league form at the moment suggests we're going down. And these players might come back when it's just too late because, you know, you need... You know, if we're falling short over the next 8 or 9 games, we're falling short, we're going to be looking at needing 2 points a game plus. And they're going to have a massive, massive impact for us to put in that sort of form towards the end of the season. I mean, yeah, I don't want to be in misery like we are most times, but I just don't see it happening. I really don't. But there we go.
I don't think we've got... I don't think we've got the players to do it at the moment. But no. Looking at it entirely like a bloke that's never seen City play, I'd look at it and think, well, there's 20 games left. We're a point behind, we're 3 points behind Bournemouth. Bournemouth aren't going well.
No.
So I would be... You know, you can't sack it off now. And we've got 60 points to play for. We may not be in such a good position after 26 games we played now again. So I would say go for it. And if we go for it and we're losing games 3-2, 2-1, playing good attacking football, I'll support the manager.
Yeah.
I will support him in 100%. What he does, but 100%. But at the moment, it's like Newcastle fans were saying, sorry to arc back to Newcastle, but if you look at the form they were in, I think they picked up something like 3 points out of the last 27.
Yeah.
And the fans were saying, look, don't expect us to be Man City, who, by the way, could only beat Sheffield United 1-0 today. Mm. I don't expect us to be Man City. I don't expect us to be Liverpool, but we do expect to have a go and play. Don't just sit back and get beat. And today they went out, they pressed high, they played in Everton's half and they ran out 2-0 winners. Now, that's what I want to see from City. I want to see the first 20 minutes against Huddersfield, right? Not what we had today, not what we had for the last 70 minutes. And you can't kid yourself in any way, shape or form that playing like that is any good because I think it ruins your confidence and players just get act off and they cannot wait to get out of the club. So don't do it. For God's sake, have a go and go down fighting.
That's what we want to see.
Which brings us back to today when we should have adapted our tactics based on the pitch and needing to get balls forward quicker. You know, it's up to the coach to do that. And we're not, like you said, Ian, we're not making the best of what we got with those players on the pitch. And that is a big problem, you know, going forward. Is it going to be the same when we got the other players back? Or are we just going to hope?
And I'll say what I said before. I don't see Downing, you know, and we're not on the training pitch, I don't know, but I do not see them offering anything by way of their alleged so-called experience to support Dean. You know, I don't see, you know, you can just tell sometimes when you look at how people are interacting with one another, you know, there's not a lot of chit-chat that's going on. There used to be more chit-chat between Lee Johnson and McAllister, and I think Dino was probably the odd one out in that little trio. But it's, look, I mean, it could all be a lot different on Wednesday if we got something. Yeah, if we got a draw at Brentford, that would be a fantastic result. And sometimes Bristol City, just when they put you down and, you know, they do that more than they lift you up, they might just go out and surprise us. And then we've got Mick McCarthy and his Cardiff City side, who, did they get a point today? I think they did, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Drew 1-1 with Millwall.
Aiden Flint's back there because he scored an own goal. Yeah. Is Tomlin still there, or is he injured? Or is he?
No, he's still there. He's the still prime injured. Minister, isn't he?
He's injured.
He's injured.
The thing that upsets people, of course, you two, I mean, and it's the elephant in the room, Brentford are everything we're not. And a team like that have got an identity. They got somebody in Matthew Benham, you know, who's using a Moneyball style of recruitment. Good overseas scouts that bring players in, and they know they're going to have to. They know they're going to have to buy to sell. So they will recruit players and say to them, look, make your name here, and we'll sell you for free. You can get a big club, but you know, do your best here first, and it works. And they're everything but where not. And little Brentford, who were in, you know, in the bottom tier only a few years ago, like the Bournemouths, you know, the Blackpools before, have just sailed past us whilst we're, you know, doing all the fancy things with, you know, with Bristol Sport, and they're doing it on the pitch. And that's what really annoys people, isn't it?
Guys, you've got to look at the issue with Brentford, though. They need to go up soon because they've got a whacking great wage bill versus turnover. As we have, I mean, ours is 100. Was last time out was 123% of turnover, but they need to do that, and they've only been a bit. Well, I say better this year. They were able to go out and get Tony because they sold 50 odd million pounds worth in two players.
The year
before, they sold Neil Maupay, so they are having to sell like we are. It's just that they've had the assets to sell. They're doing better with what we've got, with what they've got, than we are. Yeah. And I would say categorically they're better coached.
Yeah. Well, there we go. And they took a person, Thomas Frank. None of us had ever heard of him. Guys, it's just come up over the hour. We'll be back again on Wednesday night. Dave didn't join us this evening because he had problems loading the Podbean app. So I said we missed him, which we did. So those of you that have listened, it's been a very busy number of people, high number of people on, which it always is when we play like we did tonight, which was poor. Could have preceded that with another word, but I haven't. guys, Ian and Mark, enjoy the rest of your weekend. All the contributors on here, Tomo and others that have been in, your contribution is gratefully received. This is now going to be uploaded, or recording is going to be uploaded, and because somebody was moaning about us having two separate threads on the podcast, I've done it in a way that there's a link to the recorded version on the thread that I put on pre-going.
You don't want to go upsetting people, David. They're upsetting enough as it is.
So Mark, a couple of times, if you make the odd comment on OTIB, just to bump it up, I wouldn't put bump
absolutely
on there. All right, but you know, it was... You said you were swearing a lot, Ian, and so was I today, because, you know, it's frustrating. You know, I know we played poorly against Huddersfield, but the opening 20 minutes gave us the 3 points. I really thought maybe we'd turn it round today and get something, but we didn't. And once again, how many times have we said this? It was the performance. It was the performance rather than the result that was the biggest disappointment.
It's hard to watch. We're hard to beat.
We've been saying that for 3 years most of the time. Guys, have a great weekend. Thanks for your contribution, as always.
Yeah, stay safe. You too.
Cheers now. Bye-bye.
Pleasure.
Cheers,
bye. Dave.